There are many challenges. I think the most important one is how fast the technology is advancing nowadays. The way that research was conducted a couple decades ago was more easy to apply in the farms in a real scenario. For example, evaluating the inclusion of dry corn or wild corn. The only way to implement that is to have a machine for drilling corn, and that's it. Now we're going more in detail in terms of biology, and it's very, very good to understand the physiology and the biology behind a process, a metabolic process.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Data shows most cattle don't get enough vitamin D, which can impact health and performance. High D from DSM Firmenich can help improve cattle's vitamin D status. DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Be proactive with Cattle Active. Visit ProEarthAnimalHealth.com today. Control the cortisol surge and control your drug costs on your inbound cattle. Make the 21-day SHOT Show a thing of the past with QFA 2000. Give your cattle platinum protection with Virbac Bovagen Platinum Vaccines. Start your protection at us.virbac.com/platinum protection. Lallemand Animal Nutrition offers microbial solutions to boost animal welfare and performance.
Welcome to the Beef Podcast Show, brought to you by Wisenetics. I'm Dr. AJ Tarpoff, and we are dedicated to bring you the latest insights and discussions from the cattle industry. So get ready to expand your knowledge and have a great episode today. And we've got a fun one today. I'm really excited about this. I'd like to introduce Dr. Gaston Alfaro, and we're going to be talking about some of the challenges of knowledge transfer in the beef cattle industry. But before we get into that, I'd like to give a brief introduction of our guest today. And so Dr. Gaston Alfaro, he is a assistant professor at the National University of Cordoba in beef cattle production in Argentina. He teaches undergrad and graduate teaching in beef cattle production and ruminant nutrition. He's the manager of the residual feed intake experiment station, which that has a lot of cool data to be able to gather. He's also the director of ruminant nutrition graduate career emphasis, which is pretty cool. So his research focus is in nutrition, physiology, and behavior. On top of his university responsibilities, he's also a beef production consultant providing ruminant nutrition consultancy to over 20 farms. Nutrition companies. He optimizes feed formulations, dietary strategies to ultimately improve livestock health and productivity. Wealth of knowledge. It's great to have you on. Welcome.
No, thank you so much, doctor, for the invitation. It's a pleasure for me to be here. And I will be glad to speak a little bit about what we both work on and how can we transfer that knowledge to other people. So.
No, that's great. So I guess before we dive into to our topic at hand, tell us a little bit. You know, I gave you a brief introduction, but tell us a little bit about what you do, a little bit more in depth, how you got to where you are.
Thank you. I am from Argentina. I was born here in Cordoba, the second largest city in the country. And after I graduated from agriculture engineer here in Argentina, I had the opportunity to move to the University of Florida to do an internship there. And after a couple months working there, I started my master's and in Auburn University. And after that, I continue my career with pursuing a PhD also in Auburn University, working a lot with cow-calf production and fetal programming and fescue toxicity. And after that, I had the opportunity to work with cow-calf backgrounding, and then I wanted to continue to learn more of the beef production system, and I moved to Nebraska for a couple months for pursuing a postdoc working in feedlot. And after that, I came back to the same place where I was born and raised and where I studied my undergrad so I could become a professor at the National University of Cordoba. So to be honest, enjoying a lot being back, and I think that the most valuable thing was to have the opportunity to go to the States and study there and work there and to open my mind to other beef production systems, which is great, and also the cultural interchange that you have when you go there, right?
Yeah, one thing I found working with folks all over the world is no matter where we are, if we speak cow, we speak the same language. Well, that's good. So let's dive into this topic, challenges of knowledge transfer in beef production. Because as you and I both know, we can have the best research, we can have the best information developed at the university, but it has to get in the hands of producers to instill change. So I guess let's start off with a question. What are the main barriers of knowledge transfer between research institutions, the university, and beef producers and implementation of that information?
Good. I think that there are many challenges. I think the most important one is how fast the technology is advancing nowadays. The way that research was conducted a couple decades ago was easy to apply in the farms in a real scenario. For example, evaluating the inclusion of dry corn or wild corn. The only way to implement that is to have a machine for drilling corn, and that's it. Now we're going more in detail in terms of biology. And it's very, very good to understand the physiology and the biology behind a process, a metabolic process. But sometimes it's hard to come back and say, hey, we need to do this, right? It's very hard to speak, for example, of genes to producers. I think that's the main challenge. I think that I'm speaking this in terms of my short experience, right? I'm not an adult education professional. I don't have a scientific knowledge about the education or the logic of education in adults. But I will say that as a PhD student who worked in beef cattle, and I was working more with nutrigenetics, so it's hard to bring that information back to the producers first of all. And also, I think that in a real world scenario, I think we are not well trained for understanding the economics behind the biology. And as we know, like the main driver of a business is money. And I think beef cattle production, of course, we need to be friendly with the environment, in a social way also be friendly, but we need to produce money and we need to make money. And sometimes we're very focused on the biology of the process or the management decision. But sometimes we forget the importance of if that decision is going to make more money or make the producers a better life or easier life.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's, you know, the basic science, the understanding, that's great. But then it's almost our job at the university to be able to take that basic information, put it in an applied sense, but then have the understanding that if we're going to communicate with a producer, what is it practical? Is it possible to be able to implement some of these changes? You mentioned, you know, corn processing. Sure, you need, you know, a tool or a piece of equipment. I'm not sure how it is in Argentina right now. We've got our big issue is labor. Right. We need people on farm that have the knowledge, that have the abilities, that have the understanding to be able to implement some of those changes. So, no, I think you're spot on. It's taking the basic piece, making it applied, but then understanding in that holistic approach, economics, return on investment, all of those pieces. I couldn't agree more. So do you think producer networks could help bridge the gap to be able to help with this communication transfer?
Yes, I think it does. I want to tell a little bit about another job that I have in Argentina, which is I am kind of a consultant for a group of producers, who transfer all the experiences. I think that it's called CREA Movement. It's a nonprofit organization who has more than 500 groups of producers. And the logic behind that is to visit one of the farm per month. So we make a wall analysis of the producers or the company that we're visiting in terms of production, labor, family government, because many of them are a company based on a family. So that is a wall thing that we are not trained in the student if you do animal science, and there's a challenge. And I think that helps a lot in terms of sharing what a producer did and went wrong and didn't go well. But I think that the challenge for us as a technician is that we have a better understanding about the scientific method, right? Not all the producers apply a scientific approach for solving a problem, right? So I think that the producers can help a lot, but if there is a technician with them, helping them thinking in a critical thinking way or more broader way, I think that helps more.
No, I agree that it's I think a lot of our producers learn so much from each other, just things that can't be learned in a book, different tips and techniques and things that just make their lives easier. And I love the agricultural community, to be able to, if when you get people together, they're naturally going to share those things. You know, that's not a competitive advantage. That's not something that they have above their neighbor. That's something they want to share with their neighbor. But that's also a good point, that to help with some of the bigger decision making of, you know, if I do this management, here is my return. Well, how do you compare? How do you contrast? Do you have a control? Did you run a study? Is it real information to be able to share? And I think that's a good piece. So between your experience from the university, as well as your consultant work with groups like this, what strategies have been most effective in engaging future professionals in beef production?
Coming back a little bit with the last question, I think that the extension programs in the States are great, because they are having that also in a different way that we do here. But thanks to the programs like education or seminars, or they are in constant contact, the extension agents with producers are great. So that is very good to copy from the States. And I think that the best way to understand that is that to understand the most important thing is the age of the producers, or the producer age. We're having a great gap. I think that takes place all around the world, about that we don't have younger generation engaging with beef production. That is a problem with as you say, with labor. And if you think we have, of course, much better technology than 100 years ago, right? We have internet, we have water, we have houses with furniture. We have everything for having a good living. But I think that is the main challenge. And I think that we have to be aware of that, because we need to engage the new generation. The cows are not going to race alone. They need people. And of course, they are not, I hope we don't have a robot that replaces us, but I think that they need people for keeping the beef production on. So I think that when we understand the age of the producer, we need to modulate the message to the age of the person who receives it. For example, if I have a producer and I need to translate an information from a producer's I need to understand the ways that he understands the message. I will not show, for example, an Instagram reel, a 15-second Instagram reel to a 70-year-old producer, right? Probably I need a coffee. I need to sit with him, a couple minutes in a gas station, talking about the farm, and that's the way that he understands, or I understand, because I think that it's important to make this point clear. The knowledge transfer is not from the technician to the producer. Actually, especially for the younger, as I think that I'm young, I'm 33 years old, but there was an educator from Brazil called Paulo Freire. He's a very interesting guy who wrote a lot about education. And he says that the knowledge is constructed. It's not transferred, right? From me, who I know the fact or the argument, and I want to give you my argument to you or my reasons to you. We both construct the knowledge. And for example, if I saw something in Alabama or in Nebraska or in Cordoba, and I go to Buenos Aires or Brazil, or there's another reality there, and I need to adjust that reality to the theory or the basic knowledge that I have. So there are ways to construct that knowledge. Probably it's different for a person which is 70 years old versus a teenager of 15 years old. Right, so I need to. The main challenge is to adapt that the message to the age of the person who receives it.
No, I think tailoring our messaging and how we discuss things we have to know our audience, right? We have the same age break that in the U.S. that we have older producers, and then we kind of have a big break, and then we have younger producers. It's kind of a inverted, it's an inverted shape. And no, I think that's spot on. Have you seen the how young people learn today? I know I've been we have a lot of conversations about this, but the way that they learn today has changed so quickly over just the last 5-6 years, faster than the previous like 2 decades. Do you see that as well?
Yeah, the thing that is most interesting for me is the way that I study reading books or reading papers, and younger students are studying watching videos. So say if they don't see it in a video, they don't get it. I mean, reading a 20 pages article or something. They need something quick. And I think that Beef Cattle information is in a competition with other messages that probably provide more dopamine to the audience that, I don't know, understanding ruminant metabolism, Like, I think that is the challenge as a professor who teaches to 20 years students, that we are comparing or there is a competition between what we want to teach versus what they are able to do in their free time, if you wish, or the time that they are outside the school. They will have video games that is much more stimulating than, understanding bone metabolism in cows, right? Or ruminant metabolism in cows. And if you see the of course, there is an understanding in the universities behind that. That's why we are making the classes shorter, the courses shorter. We provide more time in the student to have free time in their homes to study instead of being in a classroom. But I think that we need more videos. We need more images. We need more images than text. And the thing is that images are subjective, right? Like measuring body condition score, right? But well, I think the most important thing also is to understand that the things require effort, right? You need to write a 100 pages thesis. Okay, I'm sorry. You have to do it. There is a process of thinking, moving the thought from your head from your brain to your hands and write those, right? So, yeah, I think that's another challenge.
I agree with the visual nature, the videos. But what do you think about hands-on? If we get students that we're able to teach in a way that they can see it, they can smell it, they can feel it, do you think they prefer that over video and things like that?
I have a good feeling about that because I think that everything has become virtual, right? We see cows through a device, and actually we see more cows in the phone than in the real life, because when we watch Instagram or YouTube, we see many cows. I think that is a returning from people who want to detox from media, and I think that I have faith on that. Probably in the future, we will have more chances or more opportunities to work with the students in the farm. We do that. And I think that is the best way. Of course, it's the best way to learn, right? And now as a professor, it's cheap labor, because I was cheap labor when I was a student, right? But it's okay. It's a way of learning. I mean, I'm happy that we have the facilities here in Argentina. I'm kidding about the cheap labor, right? But it's a way to say that the only way to really learn about something is that to do it. And to go there, to go to the shoot, work with cattle, travel a lot, spend 10 hours in the truck, be on different crops, cattle, and you need the effort, right? And that's the thing.
That's the only way to get the real experience, the real exposure, the understanding is if you can do it, you see it, you read about it, you learn about it, but until you do it, I don't think you ever really grasp it or understand that concept until you actually do it.
Yeah. Yes.
I guess shifting gears a little bit, I agree with you. We learn a little bit different. Our students learn. But understanding how they learn, understanding how to help with some knowledge transfer, how can consultants and advisors play a role in improving the adoption and the actual implementation of new technologies or ideas?
I think that will depend on the farm. Probably a smallholder or the owner who works also as doing things in the farm. You need to balance a little bit the economic aspect and the technical aspect. Sometimes in bigger companies, you need to have two approaches. One is one to the owner of the farm, in which you show more the numbers behind the decision, of like bank management, right? Why we need bank management? Because we are wasting a lot of money putting feed outside of the feeder. But if you work with the truck driver, he doesn't care about the money. He wants like to show like if you put the money if you put all the feed inside the feeder, he will not need to go and move the feed out. The message is different. I mean, we are trying to put the feed inside the feeder. For the owner will be in terms of money, mostly in terms of money, and to the operator will be in terms of saving time using or putting the feed outside. That is the way that, and also if you, for example, if you give a presentation to the owner, you are going to put more tables in the slide with numbers, and if you teach that to the operator, you will show images, right? The operator doesn't need to understand the numbers. He doesn't probably care about if the owner lose or not money. He's paid for 8 hours or whatever. But what you can show is examples for other farms. Okay, look at this farm. How can we improve this? What do you think if we do this movement instead of the other one? And that is the I think that if you are doing consultancy and if you are a professor, I think you have that training to understand the faces of the audience. Like, okay, you understand me. You look at the one who's doing this movement. Okay, you speak to him or her. And that type of things helps you to have the things get the things done in the farm.
No, I agree. Couldn't agree more. You need to be able to read people, understand where they're at, meet them where they are, to be able to help with that change. But I like how you discuss framing your discussion with management versus with the employees, because, and I found this out too, as my previous life as a feedlot consultant was you had to get buy-in from the owner, that you had to have buy-in from the manager that believed in that decision. Because as soon as you leave the farm, if they don't believe in it and if they don't make sure that it's followed through, no change happens.
Of course. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. No, that's great, because that the knowledge transfer, the discussions, how to explain the information is one thing, but I think the buy-in to really change the culture and change how an operation is run, that takes buy-in from top to bottom. Everybody has to be on board.
And I think that's another thing that, which is, I think, fundamental, is trust, right? We are in an industry probably is different from another industry. If you see the jobs in other industries, they are working 1 year and 2 years and they leave. And if we go a farm once, twice per year. Imagine a cow was pregnant one day, and probably you are going to be back at that farm next year, and it had just one calf, right? It's another industry different to, for example, broiler production or pigs production or swine production or even other technologies like computers or whatever. It's like we're working. That's the thing. We're working in an industry that is very slow, biologically speaking. And we need to build trust because the decision that we make now, we are going to see it next year probably, or in 2 or 3 years. And probably you will have to go many times between those time points. And you don't see nothing. I mean, you see, there's no result yet, right? Because if you are working in dairy cattle, we feed more protein or less protein, we see the result the next week or the next day. But here we're seeing the results 1.5 years. So if you did something wrong, you probably need to convince the person for 1.5 years that you did it right?
Yeah. The 2-year production system just to get a calf to market. It's even if you're retaining a cow or a heifer to be in your cow herd, well, I mean, she's not going to calve until 2 years of age. So it's another 2 years until that calf turns into beef. So, I mean, it's the length of time that we have in our production chain, I agree. So I think data is important. I think the knowledge transfer, the understanding of top to bottom, understanding the why. If we're going to make a change, why? You know, and I think everybody everybody benefits from that.
And you said the key word there, data. You know, like we're basing our decision on data. And I think that's a great job that extension agents do in the States, because they all have a postgraduate course, or either a master's or a PhD, and they had to do the master's thesis, they had to do the research, and they are thinking differently. This is not only experience-based, but also it has scientific-based, and that's the key.
No, it's the scientific knowledge transfer. That's what it's all about. But so I guess, do you have some examples of successful knowledge transfer, making a change on an operation, whether in Argentina or any other country, you know, but do you have some good examples of real positive outcome or good knowledge transfer scenarios?
Yes. I mean, examples from the basic one, from instead of doing continuous survey breeding, we do fixed breeding. From that knowledge, which has more impact than any other knowledge transfer or management practice. And I think that we have all the time the challenge of improving productions. One of the things that you said from a couple of questions before, that how can we take the knowledge from papers to implement them in real life? And I think that in Argentina, we have a double challenge, because we need to adapt the information that mostly provides or comes from the United States, Brazil, or Australia. We have very good scientists in Argentina, but it's still not much enough as compared with Brazil. And in Argentina, we're working mainly the companies that are working really good. They are working, for example, in cow-calf system, having the body weight of cows and also obtaining the body weight of the offspring and selecting dams based on that. We are having in Argentina next year, there will be a law that every animal needs to have an ID. An electronic ID. So we are going to have a lot of opportunities for keeping or to keep working in that sense in cow-calf systems. And also in feedlot management, we are doing very strange things for the States. Like, we use automatic feeders. Actually, in Argentina, we are working... It's very hard to be a producer in Argentina. We had inflation of 300% 2 years ago. So if you see the numbers, Argentina has a – it's not a winning rate, because actually we don't know actually how many calves are weaned. from cows, but it's a cow and calves ratio, right? It's 60%. It's not that much. It's not that bad if you compare with Australia or Uruguay. But the only thing is that in Argentina, with inflation of 300% per year, in some years, not all the years, we don't have future contracts. So actually, if a producer could survive 60 years or 70 years producing beef in Argentina, he's a hero, right? We don't have a very good the possibility to obtain. We have a lot of taxes. We can obtain money easily from the bank. So, if you ask for the knowledge transfer, I think that is more broad or is broader than the technical aspect. If I provide 1% or more or less of protein in a feedlot diet, it depends more on when I can sell this steer. When can I buy it? If I can understand which cow calf system provides me the better calf, if I can divide the providers, we are working on that. That is a knowledge transfer that we need. We have it in the last couple of years, and that's the thing for us that we had to do a PhD or whatever. We know how to work with Excel sheets, and for us it's easy, right? But for other people, it's not that easy. So we need to stay there, sit with them, understand the process, show them the process. And we're working with that. First of all, like, to try to do the best decision in a very changing economy. And for some farms will be, like, in conclusion, for some farms will be shortening the breeding season, selecting better bulls, working better in foraging systems, and for other ones will be like obtaining the body weight of cows, understanding how much dry matter are they uptaking from each plot, or it depends. But I think that the less technical the farm is, the better each decision that you make, right? For example, shortening breeding system, that will be a much better result than probably obtaining the body weight of the cows and the offspring. I don't know if I was clear.
No, very much so. Because I think it's really clear, especially in Argentina right now, with the huge uncertainty with, you know, economics and the economy and inflation, the dollar, that efficiency on farm. Back to the basics, very basic, very, very applied efficiency all the way through is more important now than ever, just due to all that uncertainty.
Yeah, for example, now we have very, very good prices on calves and steers, or, I mean, the live weight of animal. But at the same time, we had an increase in costs. So the profit is more or less the same. If you see one side of the picture, it's very good, but because you can do good things when you sell them, but at the same time you have to pay the employees, so it's kind of difficult to maintain that.
Yeah, when times get tough, the best thing we can do is get more efficient, and every dollar matters. Even though it's you might be making more, you're spending more, but if you can get really really efficient and really good to make sure that there's no waste. If there's no waste and you're really maximizing what you can do, I think that might be some of the best things that we can do to protect producers is, you know, just everything that we can do to help them help themselves.
Yeah, of course. In Argentina, we have a measurement. Of course, in the States, you use it also. But it's the opportunity cost, right? Okay, your land, if you rent your land, how much you make? I don't know, $100. Okay, if you're producing and you are making $80, you're losing money, basically. And that is tough to understand and to digest for a technician, of course, for an owner or for producers. But if we do that exercise, we understand better that every dollar matters and every decision matters. And we are giving a capital to our children that needs to be more, because if you have two children, you have to produce twice that you received, right? So every dollar matters.
Every dollar matters. And I think that's everywhere. And right now, I mean, the worldwide cattle market, I mean, things are tight. You know, it's there's money to be made, but things are tight, and I think it helps everybody be more efficient all the steps of the way. But it takes some of the knowledge transfer and understanding of how, you know, it's tough to make change. Anybody, it's difficult to, you know, change what you're doing. But if it's done for the right reasons, for efficiency, for with purpose, with guidance from consultants, academics, I mean, that's how the world goes around.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, is there anything else you want to add to the discussion with knowledge transfer?
I think that is a global challenge, and I think that we usually try to, like, or we think that the problems that we have in our country is the same, or it's only for our country. And as we speak, it's a global problem. Like, labor is a global problem. People don't want to live in the farm. And generation is changing so fast, or the way that new generation learns are changing so fast. So the best thing that we can do is to adapt and try to be aware of. And I think that now more than ever, we need to work with people who work with education. And I know that many universities also in the States, they provide adult education courses, and they understand the mechanism of educating. But I think that nowadays we need more than ever to think about the way that we transfer information. 100 years ago, the professor was the source of knowledge, right? Because or the library was the source of knowledge. We have all the knowledge now here in the phone.
Yeah, right here.
And everybody has it, and that is a good thing, because it challenges you, because you can speak to someone who has a knowledge of that, at least a basic knowledge, and the discussion can get better. But at the same time, we need to get better, get more informed. I mean, ChatGPT can give you some answers, but you have to form your own critical thinking, right? Because I think that ChatGPT is studying from the slides, right? When you see, like, you study from the slide, like, 3-4 bullet points, and you think you know it, and you go to a farm or somewhere, or speak to somebody with the things that you read for, or the students read from ChatGPT, that doesn't provide real knowledge. I think that the knowledge comes also from the effort of the person who wants to know, of reading a lot, of if you are driving, listen to a podcast. I don't know if somebody will listen to this podcast, but if you wish, like, you can read it, listen to podcasts and things like that helps you to get more knowledge.
But I think that's a challenge for all educators. Anybody working in agriculture, and it doesn't matter if, you know, you're in academia or extension or a consultant, or you're a manager at a feedlot. Maybe you've got a couple of employees. All of us are charged with educating. So I guess, and knowing that there's unlimited information that can be found in your phone, it's still up to each educator to be able to weed through all that mess to give the real information, the practical applied information. It's almost, we've changed our teaching to not here is the information. It's here is the information, but here's all these pieces and how it applies to this question.
And as we said before, like, the student or the person who receives the information needs to construct the information within her brain and understand. And in that, the student will make her own or his own understanding of the information that we are providing. So we need to be aware of that, because the message I say to you probably is going to receive to another person differently, because they are coming back from two different backgrounds. So as you said before, we need to know the audience.
We need to know the audience and teach them to learn, not to not just provide facts, but teach them to gather and put that information together. If we can teach them to do that, they'll be a lifelong learner.
One of the only things that I say to my student is put in doubt everything you listen, even the thing that I say, right? Like, create your own critical thinking, analyze everything, retain the good, and the body weight of a cow is anecdotal. Probably the cow will change in 50 years as it changed before, but they have to think by themselves. So that's if there is one message that I can give now in this podcast is analyze everything, retain the good, right?
I couldn't agree more. Analyze, think, and make good decisions.
Yeah.
It's time for our famous three.
Give your cattle platinum protection with Virbac's new Bovigen Platinum Vaccines. These four vaccines deliver quality protection against respiratory and reproductive diseases in the vaccine combinations you need to protect cattle at every life stage. Bovigen Platinum Vaccines are comprehensive and safe, have consistent supply made in the United States, and are backed by a 6-month guarantee in the Bovigen Platinum Protection Program. Start your platinum protection at us.virbac.com/platinum protection or contact your Virbac representative.
Well, with that, I think that kind of wraps up our discussion, but I can't let you go yet. As a part of the Beef Podcast show, we always ask our guests three questions at the end to really help, because this is an education platform. We're trying to help guide professionals. And I do want to ask the first question, what is your go-to cattle-related resource? So we talked about, the phones. There's information everywhere. Where do you go to get information?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that there are many sources of information. There are many that are good. So if there are many that are good, there are others that are bad or they are not as good, right? I think the best way to really learn something is to spend time reading and reading articles and reading good books about the topic. And I think that the best way, like, for example, reading an article or reading a book is get bored reading. And don't skip parts, right? Like as we said before, if we ask ChatGPT or an AI, it will provide the answer that we want, right? And I think that when you read a paper, you read things that you didn't intending to read, right? It's like when you go to the supermarket. You go to the supermarket to look for a couple of soda, and you will go and see some t-shirts, you will see some shoes, and that will be in your mind for the next time. So I think that when we read a paper, we need to go to the introduction, go to the materials and method, and go to the discussion, because probably you will read something that you will need in the future.
So question number two, let's go with, what is your favorite information? What are you reading right now outside of agriculture, outside the cattle industry? What are you reading or listening to?
I cannot say another thing than the Bible, right? Like, I think the Bible is the best book ever written, and I think that everybody should read it at least once per day. But beyond that, I think that I am an engineer, and we don't have a lot of knowledge about the social stuff, like sociology, philosophy, and I make an effort in reading those type of books in order to broaden my mind and understand that not everything is a number, not everything is an equation. People are different. People are not an equation. The social stuff is not an equation, and I think that helps me a lot to understand better the way the world that I live in, right?
No, agreed. And it's the soft skills we don't get taught as a scientist, as a educator. We don't always get taught some of the behavior pieces and how people interact with each other. I think that's good. So, lastly, we've talked about education, we've talked about learning, but in your mind, what makes a really successful leader in our industry?
I think that a leader, first of all, needs to be humble and needs to know what he's doing. And I think that a good leader is worthy of people who want to copy him or follow him. And I think that the leader, first of all, has not to declare himself as a leader, right? If a king has to say that he's a king, he's not a king, right? So I think that humble or humility, knowledge, and empathy are the three most important things. I think that a person can learn can learn how much is the body weight of a cow. If a feedstuff has more or less protein, you can open a book and read it. We have it in the cell phone. But there are other things that needs to be within the person, right? Like the humility, empathy, and the knowledge of the of how to treat people, I think.
So it was, I had a mentor tell me, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Yeah. And I think that's very true with leadership is you have to care about the people that you're trying to work with and everything else follows into place.
Yeah.
Well, Gaston, thank you very much. This has been the Beef Podcast Show. I thank you for coming on. This has been a great conversation. I hope our listeners, their people will listen to this podcast, and I'm sure they'll get a lot out of it because we're all in the education. We're all in the knowledge transfer industry. Whether we think about it that way or not, you brought up a lot of really good points. So I thank you for coming on the show. And so this has been the Beef Podcast Show brought to you by Wisenetics. I'm Dr. AJ Tarpoff with Dr. Gaston Alfaro. So listen in, hit the like button, and we'll see you on the next episode. Thank you.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.